You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Believe it or not, July is almost over. We got just one more day after today, and then 2026 continues to just march on forward. And you know, that now we should only have about four more months worth of summer. And so I hope you're surviving the hot weather okay, and you're not taking any unnecessary precautions. But you might have some jobs outside that you are needing to have done. And if that's the case, I want to tell you the folks at Jits Concrete, they do a great, great job. I talked to Brother Anderson here recently and was asking them about their schedule. And he's like, it's not as busy as they could stand, but it's also hot out there right now, too. But so if you've got a concrete job, these are not just people that I have known for decades and decades, but a contractor that I know said, your concrete people are my concrete people. They've got decades of experience. They're experts in all things concrete. No matter what it is you've got to do, they know how it should be done, and they have the connections, they know how to prepare the site, prepare for the pour. They know how to install the concrete, finish the concrete, the timeline. You know, believe it or not, once concrete is poured, you know, as far as I remember, you got to go out there and water that down, at least back when I had to do it. On occasion, that's what you had to do. Jits Concrete, they're really, really good at what they do. They have great expertise, and they've got a great work ethic. They get in, get the job done, then they get out of your way so you can move forward with your project. If you've got something that you're wanting to have done, needing to have done, now may be just the right time for you to check out them as a resource. 321-536-5804 is how you can get in touch with Greg at Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804. We thank them for being friends of the Refresh radio program. Today we're going to move to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, where there's a lot of, how do I want to say this? There's a lot of practical advice that is given to believers in the Word of God. It is not just about a decision that we make, but it is about the lifestyle that we are supposed to live. Right now, we're talking about love. Love is not just an emotion. Love is not just a decision. Love is a lifestyle, and we're going to talk about that today, and it is something that we have to be intentional about. But we're going to talk about the quality, the nature, and the implications, the impact that love has. And so we're going to cover four verses, five verses. So we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. It says this: let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. And so there's none of those sentences in there that is extremely complicated. They're all very short. They're very compact, and they give us great guidance on how we are to live our lives. And so in verse number 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. So once again, I like to define the terms biblically, not how they are translated necessarily in modern times, where love in 2026 tends to be viewed as, well, because you have strong feelings towards me, you are not only going to allow me to do whatever I want to do, but you're not only going to accept it, you're going to approve of it, you're going to endorse it, and things like that. And I want you to know that that isn't love. There's a lot of people who have tried to, you know, be the cool parent, or be the fun parent, or all of that sort of stuff, when really our primary objective should be to be the godly parent. And because of our relationship with God, we bring that love that God has for us and that we have for him, we bring that into our other relationships. So I see some social media reels of a lot of pastors, and there was one pastor that was talking. He shows up on everything. I don't know how you have that much time to do as many different speaking engagements as he does. He must have a great social media team. That's all I can say. Pastor's a large church. But I didn't know that he had come from a pastor's household. And he said that one of the greatest things that his father ever did for him was he lived out a genuine love for God. And he said, so I would be next to him during a worship service, and he would not be leading a service. He would not just be singing a song. He would be worshiping from his heart. And he said, so there I am as a child. I look over and my dad's got tears coming down his face. And he talked about how he lived out a genuine love for God. And it was very real for him. And so love, biblically, is an unconditional love. This is godly love, by the way, that includes benevolence and goodwill and love between others. And when it says God is love, it means that this is the way that God loves. He is agape personified. So when you look at this, and you might miss a very important word in this sentence. It's the very first word in the sentence, and it is the word let. Let indicates that we play an active and intentional role in fulfilling this directive. So never forget that God created us in his sovereignty. He created us with free will. It was God's choice. He was looking for a creation that would love him because they want to love him. And I'm so thankful that in spite of the fact that each and every one of us has used our free will in an ungodly manner at some point in time in our life, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us so much that he provided a pathway or a process of redemption so that we could be reconciled to the Father, so that we could live the life of love that God wants us to live. So one time I asked my congregation, you know, what their favorite sermon, maybe it wasn't me that asked the question. It might've been one of our anniversary services. And someone, they asked, what was your favorite sermon that we'd ever, or that they'd heard me preach? And one of the men of the church said, he referenced a sermon series that I did. I called it the Lettuce Patch Sermons. And it was out of the book of Hebrews. And it was kind of a play on the old Cabbage Patch dolls, things that whatever decade that was. They were already gone off of the scene by the time that I preached it, but people still remembered them. And I focused on a series of statements that were in the book of Hebrews that simply said, "Let us." Not as in iceberg or romaine, but let us. Here, the word let tells us that we have to be intentional and implement this life of love, and that we need to make sure that we do it in a genuine and authentic way. So, it goes on from there, and it addresses the number one thing that people struggle with when it comes to church. A lot of people say, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites at church. And I will tell you that you will find hypocrites at church. You will find hypocrites in sales. You will find hypocrites in government. You will find hypocrites in every category. You'll find hypocrites in the military. You will find hypocrites in the school system. You will find hypocrites. You don't have to look very hard, and you will find hypocrites. And so hypocrites are viewed in society in a very negative manner. And as I was doing my study for this, I found out that there was a lot more to the origin of hypocrisy than what I had known. Much of it I knew, some of it I didn't. So let me tell you what the Greek lexicon on my Bible program had to say. It says, hypocrisy is pretending to be what one is not. Okay? And so let me take you back up. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let love be authentic. Don't pretend to love someone when you really don't love them. Okay? It goes on and it says, hypocrisy is giving an appearance of being religious or virtuous that is not an accurate representation. Okay, so you be real. Be real. Maybe one of the reasons why our church is on the smaller side is because I'm very transparent. I don't pretend to be all that and more. I love God, love my wife, love the church, love this community. And I will use my own life as examples, because I know that I'm not going to get mad at me. I can go ahead and I am confident enough in Jesus to know that I can be transparent and let people know, hey, we may have challenges on our own, but Jesus makes us more than an overcomer. The world have seen enough performers, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, go out and be accurate in that. There are a lot of people who go out and they say, look, I said a prayer and I'm done. I get to go and do whatever I want. I want you to understand, you need a greater revelation of Jesus, because the more of his holiness that we perceive, the more appreciative we're going to be for the authenticity of his divinity, the more we're going to be persuaded that the way he has loved us is the way that we need to live. And so the more that we see him, so if you, maybe you got a family business, and the more that a person sees how you do something, they should want to do it that way, or you know, in humanity's case, they may actually have a better way to do it. My goal for my kids is that they will be more effective in the ministry, more effective in their Christian walk than I've been, but I want to set the bar as high as I can. And so it needs to be an accurate representation. The world's got enough actors. It's got enough performers. It goes on, the lexicon goes on, and it says that it is a lifestyle that is without deceit or misrepresenting the truth. Okay? And I will say this about deceit. We'll talk about this a little bit more in coming programs and dealing with another passage. But deceit is not just something that comes out of our mouth. It has to do with the relationship that you have, and that both parties are on the same playing field. They're on the same level. They have the same concern for one another, so that they authentically represent what is expected. So there's not one level of expectation on one side and a complete abandonment of the relationship on the other side. That's not love. I recently had an event, and it was something that was a little bit of a challenge, because there were people who had a different understanding of our relationship than what I did. And yet when we crossed paths again, they thought everything was hunky dory, and it was like, you know, this is a difficult moment because there was someone who just completely, you know, didn't have the same value on our relationship that what I did. It was painful. So you need to be upfront in your relationship. And I will tell you that many times people can see through your lack of integrity before you ever disclose it. So the next part was misrepresenting the truth. And I don't ever want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of that in my relationship with my wife. I don't want to be guilty of misrepresenting the truth of God. So there's a lot of that going on. There are people who are literally abusing the word of God, and they are proclaiming a different gospel, a different standard, to try and make themselves more appealing to modern society, all of the while they are undermining the gospel and the need for repentance. So I pray that we would know that we would represent the truth that sin is a lethal condition. It's not something to be played with. It is something to be dealt with. And so we can't misrepresent the word of God. So we need to love and speak the truth in love. We need to love in authenticity. It also says claiming virtues or qualities that one does not possess. Now, here's what the lexicon really brought things to light. It originally, this term hypocrisy, originally came from the concept of being an actor. It transformed into the idea of a pretense or a sham. So, my wife and I, we are very selective in the things that we watch. Unless it's a sports related event, we very rarely watch television broadcasting. And the reason for that is because subject matter, commercials, and things like that. And when that is the case, we just say, you know what, we're not going to watch that. But we have some things that we, you know, some genres. My wife likes to watch detective stories. We tried to watch this one, and in all honesty, the acting was so bad. And it wasn't that we heard anything. It was not good acting. And it may have been back in the 20s, in 1920s, not 2020s, but in 2026, it was very bad acting. And I don't want us to be guilty of acting badly in the church. It transformed into the idea of a pretense or a sham. Jesus used it, listen to this, Jesus used it to refer to people who lived with outward expressions of righteousness but had wickedness in their heart. That's a problem. So you would hear of wolves in sheep's clothing. You talk about people who are coming in and pretending to be a Christian, all of the while they're living as if there is no God. They claimed to interpret God to humans, but misrepresented him misrepresented him in such a way that it turned sinners away from God. Okay? So here these people were, and they were supposedly representing God, but in the meantime, they were driving a wedge between God and the people that he wanted to save. Hypocrites do not pursue authentic inward holiness. Ouch. Okay? Here's the thing about holiness. There are plenty of traumatic experiences that people have had in the past, you know, with holiness being defined as, you know, a certain hairstyle or, you know, other habits that cause them to stand out from other people's understanding in society. In the same time, though, there were a lot of people who had those external appearances, but there was a problem in their heart. And so they, on the surface, they looked like people of holiness, but holiness had nothing to do with the externals. It had to do with the internals. And so there's always this verse when it comes to holiness, and it says, without holiness, no one will see God. Okay? So he says, be holy even as I am holy. Holiness is not optional. And I will tell you this, holiness isn't ugly. It says that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Some translations say the beauty of his holiness. Well, if God is holy and it is beautiful when he displays it for us to see, it should also be something that we be have in our life, that we put it on display for others to see, so that they are drawn to God instead of being repelled from God. Here is the last thing it says about hypocrisy. Hypocrites were people who refused to enter the kingdom of God and try to prevent others from entering themselves. That should never take place in our church. It should never take place in our home. It shouldn't take place in our business. And so you and I, we're not supposed to be an obstruction to people entering the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be people who are saying, hey, I'm going to the throne. I'm going to go present myself at the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Would you like to come with me? It should be always persevering and pursuing and going deeper in our relationship with God, and also extending the invitation to others around us. Hey, let's make this journey together. So, as we are in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. There are people who can make claims of love, but yet when you look at the life they live, it's like, that does not look like the love that God would put on display. And whenever that's a problem, you can say, oh, you know what? I don't want to embrace that. There are things that I have seen in people's lives in the past, and I say, you know what? I don't want that in my life. I want something that is authentic. I want something that is real, and I hope that you do too. If you do not have a church home here in Brevard County, I'd like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. I'm very real here. We're a small church, but we're a church that loves God, that wants to love people, be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to the church, to our family, to the church, and to the community. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.